verses 16 through 20, where I will be reading from the English Standard Version. The word of the Lord declares, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Today, I want to subtitle this text, "Are You Exercising Your Spiritual Authority?" Why don't you help me by asking your neighbor, "Are you exercising your spiritual authority?" Come on, talk to another neighbor and say, "Neighbor, are you exercising your spiritual authority?" Now I dare you to look behind you and find somebody behind you and say, "Neighbor, are you exercising your spiritual authority?" Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. The text says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, meaning Jesus. Not partial authority, but all authority has been given to Jesus. And so at the time of our text, we find Jesus has arisen from the grave, and Jesus has sent word back to the disciples that they are to meet him in Galilee. And then even in the book of St. Matthew, he makes this message, sends this message not only to the 11 disciples, but even to those followers. The text lets us know that over 500 individuals that Jesus wanted his followers to know, not only has he risen from the grave, but he has power. And not only does he have power, but he has all power. And not only does he have power and all power, but this power has been disseminated to his followers, his disciples. And so he wanted them to understand that he had to go, but he was dispersing power and authority to those who believed in him. So the text says all authority, which means absolute sovereign authority and lordship over all, is in the Lord's hands. In heaven and on earth. In other words, he has authority in both dimensions, in both heaven and in earth. And this verse is clear proof of his deity. The time of his humiliation is at end, and God has exalted this man, Jesus, over all. And then the text says, on the basis of his authority, the disciples are now set to make disciples of all nations. In other words, they have been commissioned by the Great Commission and given authority to make disciples of all nations. So he said, on this basis, the scope of their commission corresponds with the unlimited authority and an unceasing, a perpetual authority has been given to his followers. Then the text says, Go ye therefore into all the world, some into one place and some into another place. Since his power and authority, and so now the commission he gave them reached everywhere. Before it was confined in Judea, but now it is extended to all nations throughout the world. And then the text says, teaching all nations. Jews, both Jews and Gentiles, teaching all nations, all creeds, all tongues, teaching all nations, first the one and then the other. The doctrines of the gospel and the ordinances of it, whatever they had learned from Christ. He said, that and only that, I want you to teach all nations the things that have been taught unto you. Learn from Christ. They were ordered by Christ to make disciples. And watch this. He gave a simple instruction to go and make disciples by doing what? Teaching them what I have taught you.
Yes. Yes.
Seems simple enough. And he said, bring them to my religion of faith. Because you got to understand what was happening at the time of our text was that there were multiple different religions. There were various religions. Pagan worship was taking place. And so he said, I'm not focused on all of those other religions. I want you to bring them to my religion. Bring them to the authority, the final authority, because how many know that Jesus Christ, being the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that of the only begotten Son, full of grace, he is the final authority as it relates to religion. All things must submit to the Word who is Jesus, who was and is to come. Then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Watch this awesome thing about Jesus is he always brought everything back to the Father. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he spoke to the Trinity in this text. Jesus said in John 14, 12 through 15, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Anybody ever ask God for something in the name of Jesus? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why? Because God has to honor the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why it's important when you pray, you know in which name you ought to pray. Because if you say, God, do this, God, do that, you could be talking to multiple God. You could be talking to a lowercase g God. But when you say, God, I'm reminding you of your promises, and you seal it with the name of Jesus, God responds to that name. Because the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, that every knee has to bow, every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. Uppercase L-O-R-D. He is Lord. That word Lord means that he is Messiah. You know, the Jews, they teach that the Messiah has not yet come. So they're still awaiting a Messiah. But the scripture says that he is Lord, which means he is the Messiah. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is God. He is Yahweh. He is the door to salvation. He is the only door to salvation. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, that the Father may get glory out of the Son, that the Father may be exalted even the more in and through the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me and keep my commandment. Those are the two prerequisites. You must love him and follow his precepts. So the word says that we have the power to cast out demons, heal the sick, and exercise authority over the powers of darkness. And so what has happened to the church's power? What has caused our power failure? You ever been trying to do something around your house, wash clothes, watch the television, work on the computer, and then there's a power outage? You know that happens frequently. It doesn't have to be a thunderstorm for the power to go out in Miami-Dade County. I found that out because I'm from North Florida, but I found out that there's a thing called power surges that happens periodically in Miami-Dade County where the power just decides to go out. And whatever it is that you're trying to do, all of a sudden, because of a power failure, you've got to start all over again once the power comes back on. So my question is, what has happened to the power of the church? If the text says that all power has been given unto Jesus, and then Jesus has disseminated this power, and he says, greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because I go unto the Father. What happened to the church's power? We have been given authority to cast out demons, but instead we pray that God will cast the demons out of us. We're asking God to do something that he gave us the tools to do for ourselves. He's giving us his word. He gave us his Son, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so he gave us his Son. And then watch this. On top of giving us his Son, he gave us that name. That name, there's power in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. And he says that you have been given authority to use the name of Jesus. So this is how authority works. Authority doesn't beg. Authority doesn't ask. Authority commands. If you want the enemy to leave, you don't beg the devil to get out of your house, get out of your life, get out of your body. The devil has to be commanded to leave. That's how authority works. You use the name of the Lord. You use the word of the Lord, and you command the enemy to leave you alone. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Watch this. What qualified this master, this centurion, to receive a healing for this individual was the fact that he called Jesus Messiah. Remember the word Lord, L-O-R-D, uppercase L. It means Messiah. He recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And whenever you recognize Jesus as Lord, God has to respond to your prayer. He recognized in a time in which Jesus was not popular at all. He recognized him as Lord. Centurion answered and said, Lord, if I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof,
but speak the word only. He recognized the authority in the name and the person, in the personification of Jesus Christ. He recognized that there is power in Jesus. I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Look at your neighbor and tell him, so be it done unto you. As you believe, so be it done unto you. The Bible says, and his servant was healed in the self same hour. Which brings me to the first point in my message. Point number one, authority is exercised through our spoken word. Through our spoken word. Why? Because the Bible lets us know in Proverbs 18 and 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There is power in your tongue. MacArthur said it like this in Proverbs 18. He says, death and life, the greatest good and the greatest harm, are in the power of the tongue. That you can speak good from your tongue or you can speak evil. But the power of life and death resides in the tongue. You know, people like to say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me. But how many know if you watch the news, teenagers are committing suicide because of being bullied? Because words have power. Words have power. Oftentimes we are encouraged to pray out loud for something or someone's healing. But we refuse to obey the leading of the Lord. We have to be ever so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may give you the unction to pray for someone because he wants to use you to perform a miracle in the life or in someone else's body. Many times because we are not in tune to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us, someone else misses out on their miracle. We hesitate for fear that God would not answer in an affirmative. Then feel like we may look like a fool. And many times our hesitancy is proof of our weak faith. And so one thing made clear is that Jesus was the Son of God. He exercised authority that nobody else had access to in all of history. He cast out demons using his authority. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. This is the level of power that Jesus walked in and operated in as he walked this earth. This same power. He says, greater works shall you do. In my name shall you cast out devils. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. He used his word. He didn't have to go and get a gun. Come on, somebody. He didn't need a knife. He used his word because the authority was in his mouth. He spoke the word. Also in John 5 and 8, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus comes across a man who was either lame or paralyzed, and he had been that way for 38 long years. Jesus' compassion for the lame man was heartwarming, demonstrating how he wants to reach out to every person. He saw the man lying there. He knew all about his desperate condition. And might I add that it was Jesus who initiated a relationship with this man. In fact, Jesus could have walked past him, but because of his compassion for the hurting, it caused Jesus to stop. And having interaction with this man, he initiated the relationship with this man who was in need. We need to ask ourselves, how many times have we passed up an opportunity to initiate a conversation with someone that Jesus may want to heal or deliver through you? Jesus has been given authority over everything. Matthew 28 and 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In other words, Jesus said, "I have been given all dominion." He wanted to make it clear that his followers, his believers knew that all power had been given unto him. Jesus' power is a given power. In other words, he did not take the power. He did not usurp authority. He did not steal his authority, but it had been given unto him. See, it's easy to operate in an authority that has been gifted to you, has been given to you. But when you steal authority, you can never reap the benefit of the blessing of walking in authority that has been stolen. Many people will usurpation of authority. People will try and steal authority that does not belong to them. And what happens is you're walking under a curse because you're operating in an authority that you have not been given. And therefore, you are not sanctioned to operate in that authority. You are not qualified to operate within that authority. So you cannot expect a blessing. Why? Because the scripture says that the blessings of the Lord make it rich and added with it no sorrow. And whenever you steal authority, you're going to be sorrowful. Because the blessing is not from the Lord. You stole the authority. And so that's why it was important that Jesus let his followers know that this power had been given unto him. That he was not operating under his own authority. See, many times people set up their own authority, and you can't set up your own authority and call it godly and expect God to bless it. Jesus' power is above and over all that is in heaven and in earth. His authority is over all the universe. The Lord's authority includes the power to rule and to reign. He's been given authority to rule, to reign, to have dominion over all things. To receive the worship and subjection of all men who willingly surrender to his dominion. The Lord's authority includes the power to govern and direct the affairs of men without violating man's freedom. Any other authority that you sit under will violate your freedom. But when you sit under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he will never ever violate your freedom. Like the story I mentioned some time ago about the slave girl who was bought by this. This was a black slave girl who was bought by this white gentleman. And he began to bid, and others were bidding on her. But he continued to bid, and he paid a large amount for her. And once he had purchased her, she began to follow him and say, "Master, what would you have me to do?" He said, "I didn't buy you to be another slave. I bought you to purchase your freedom. You're free. Go about your life. Do what you want." And that's what Jesus has done for each of us. He bought our freedom. He took us from the bondage of sin, making us free. And when you sit under anything other than Christianity, you are going to be bound. It will violate your freedom. Because whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And as believers, we are given authority. We're given authority to heal. Jesus commands us to heal the sick. In Matthew 10 and 8, Jesus says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. In other words, God has blessed you with an anointing to lay hands on the sick. You ought to give it freely. God has blessed you with a gift to sing the songs of Zion. You ought to give it freely. God has blessed you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ought to give it freely. Whatever God has called you to do and gifted you to do for his kingdom, you ought to do it freely. Jesus never asked us to pray and ask God to heal the sick. He told us to heal the sick. He said, heal the sick. You do it, but make sure you do it in my name. Don't do it in your own name, because there is no power in your name. Listen, I'm a third generation Church of God of Prophecy, second generation preacher. I can use the last name Hughes all I want. The devil is not afraid of my last name. Devil doesn't care that I pastored for 20 years. The devil doesn't care that my father is a bishop. The devil doesn't care that I recently became a bishop. The devil does not care, because there's no power in my name. There's no power in the handle of bishop, because I mean, no, bishop is only a handle. But the good news is, when you're able to walk in a level of accountability, in a level of integrity, in a level of excellence before God and man, that's what makes you different from the others. So the devil does not care about our title. But what the devil cares about is when you understand the authority of the name of Jesus. When the devil becomes fearful, when he understands that you know the power in whom you stand. You know that your power is in the name of Jesus. You know that you've been blood washed. You've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. You understand that your authority is in that name. You understand that one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000. Into flight. You understand that you're an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and you shall not be ashamed. Nowhere in the scripture does it record that Jesus ever prayed, Father, please heal this person. Instead, we see that Jesus healed people with his spoken word. He commanded the devil to loose them and let them go. He told a man, get up, pick up your bed and walk. He spoke to situations. He spoke to a storm and said, peace be still. And the storm ceased. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. In John 5 and 8, Jesus told the man to rise, take up thy bed and walk. And even in the case of Lazarus, though Jesus acknowledged that his power came from the Father, it was Jesus who said, Lazarus, come forth. The early church healed people in the same manner. In Acts 3 and 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He spoke to situations. He said, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Notice Luke Luke 9 and 1, it says that he not only gave his disciples authority over all devils, but also to cure diseases. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So authority is exercised when there is a right to exercise it. You have authority whenever you have been given a right to exercise authority. Point number two, Jesus distributed that authority to us. You ought to be glad about it. Jesus is not stingy. But he distributed that authority to the believer. He said, in Mark 13:34 says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the potter to watch." He gave authority, he distributed authority to the believer. Luke 9 and 1 records that Jesus gave authority to his 12 disciples. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Look at somebody and tell them, all devils. Jesus has given us authority over all devils. And still later in Luke 1, in 17, Jesus gave his authority to the 70 disciples. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us." Watch this. He said, "Even the devils," they said, the 70, "are subject unto us through thy name." They learned by experience. These are people who were commissioned by Jesus to exercise authority in and through the name of Jesus. They exercised the authority and the devils obeyed the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus. The church has the authority to cast out any demon that is visible sign of sin. In other words, we have the authority to cast out alcoholism, drug addiction, fornication, slander, stealing. We have been given the authority by and through the name of Jesus. Because that authority, notice, that authority is in the name of Jesus. Jesus gives his people this authority to use his name. God's power is available to you and released by you when you are in faith. The scripture lets us know in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We must have faith. You can never begin to walk in the authority of God without faith. You must believe. You must walk by faith. God's power is available and released to those who walk in faith based on the word of God, correctly using the Lord's name. We must always be mindful that God's name is holy and should never, ever be used in vain. In other words, you ought not use the name of the Lord unless you need him. When you use God's name and faith based on the word of God, there is power in the name of Jesus to change any situation, any circumstance. There is enough power. There is sufficient power in the name of Jesus to change your very situation. God's name, when used correctly in faith based on the word of God, carries God's power. It carries the very power and authority of God himself. Luke 10 and 17 says that, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Mark 16 and 17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And to use someone else's authority through their name is quite an honor. And so so Jesus gave the church gifts. How many know that? That Jesus left gifts for the church. There are a few scriptures in the New Testament which allude to the fact that Jesus gave gifts to the church. Ephesians 4 and 11 talks about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, which are gifts that Jesus left for the church. And then there's another passage in Corinthians that talks about the 9 spiritual gifts of the spiritual gifts that Jesus gave. And I want to talk about a few of them right now. The gifts of power are the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the works of miracles. The gift of faith. This is the supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, unbelief, and reasoning. In other words, God has gifted certain individuals to have a supernatural ability to believe that God is able to do the impossible. These individuals, it does not matter what storms arise in their lives, they just believe that God is able to perform a miracle. They believe that God is able to work things out. They believe that God is able to heal their body. And then there is the gift of healing. The healing of all manner of sickness by supernatural power without human aid or medicine. That there's some people who have this gift that they believe that God is able to heal. Then there is the spiritual gift, gift of the working of miracles. Is a supernatural power to intervene in the ordinary course of natural and to counteract natural laws if necessary. In other words, God, they believe that God is able to perform a miracle when the doctors say no. But there are people that God has given this gift, that they believe that God is able to do it. That if they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. They believe if they lay hands with the anointing of oil, that God is able to perform a miracle. Not everybody has this gift, but there are people who have this gift. The gift of healing is one of the 9 spiritual gifts. This gift does not manifest itself in every believer, but I believe that there are people sitting here in this church right now who have the gift of miracles, and you may not even know it, but all you've got to do is begin to exercise your faith. Tune into the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I guarantee you the Holy Ghost will help you identify your spiritual gifts. Jesus gives authority to those who believe. Jesus gave his disciples authority to carry his will here on the earth, to carry out his commandments, but they weren't the only ones. He also gave us, look at your neighbor and tell him, he gave us authority. We've been given authority by and through the Holy Ghost, by and through the anointing of God. We have been given authority. Mark 16 and 17 says, again, and these signs, look at your neighbor and tell them, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his word and command it to potter to watch. Which brings me to my third and final point, and I'm closing. Authority is acquired through faith. Look at your neighbor and tell him, faith. You cannot walk in this kind of authority without having faith first in God. And secondly, in the power of the name of Jesus. Spiritual authority is access through faith. There is a lot to be learned from the story told in Mark 9 and 17 about how faith allows us to access our authority. When the disciples came across an unusually strong demon, they wouldn't budge in their faith. Jesus made it clear that a lack of faith, they will not cause something to happen. But you've got to walk in faith. For the Bible says that all you need is faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea. In Matthew's account, the same lunatic son, Jesus equates this necessary faith to a mustard seed. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, and for verily I say unto you, if you have faith, look at your neighbor and tell him, if you have faith. Because all it takes is faith in God's ability to do the impossible. All it takes is faith in God's ability to heal the sick, to lay hands on the sick, and see them recover. Why is a mustard seed out of all the seeds? He said a mustard seed. Why not a larger seed? Because what Jesus wanted them to know is all it takes is little faith. All it takes is mundane faith. All it takes is mediocre faith. All it takes is a faith to get started. But when you work with a little, God will give you much. When you learn how to work with little. While we may have power, God has a plan. Look at your neighbor and tell him, walk in the power, because God has a plan. That's one thing I learned about the Holy Ghost, is all you've got to do is walk in the power of God. And if you have the Holy Ghost, God has the plan. He said, open your mouth and I'll speak for you. Open your hand, Moses. Open your hand, stretch out your rod. God has a plan. All you need is faith. But then in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, the word declares, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Let me back up here. He said you have authority, that Jesus has authority in heaven. What's in heaven? There are angels in heaven. So the Bible says that God has highly exalted him and given him a name high above every name, that everything in heaven, that where there are angels, every angel in heaven must bow at the name of Jesus. Then it goes on to say that even in the earth, he's given him dominion. He's given Jesus authority. Even in earth, what's in earth? In earth, we have humans. But even in earth, every human in earth must bow. Every Republican in earth must bow. Every Democrat in earth must bow. Every moderate in earth must bow.
Then it goes on to say, in hell, in the dimension of Hades, what's in Hades? You've got demons in hell. You've got spiritual wickedness in hell. You've got imps in hell. And in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that every devil in hell must bow at the name of Jesus. I dare you to give God praise for the authority that's been given to every believer, that in the name of Jesus. In Genesis 1 and 1, God introduces himself as Elohim. Elohim, which is in the beginning. God Elohim created heaven and earth. Elohim means all power and all might. In other words, God gave him, even in Genesis chapter 1, he was spoken of as Elohim, meaning he has all authority. He has all dominion. And then Ohim is plural sense, which would speak to the triune Godhead of being. So even in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why? Because before the Son can be sent, there was already a pronounced glory. There was already a plan for God to send his Son into a sinful world to give the church authority. Aren't you glad today to know that the church is not powerless? Aren't you glad today to know that the church still has power? Look at your neighbor and tell them the church still has power. In every situation, the Bible says God introduces himself as the Almighty, the all-powerful, all-glorious, all-merciful, all-loving, and all-gracious God, who is full of mercy, who is full of grace. He is the rock of my salvation. May we have a joyful peace in knowing that Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is a shelter in the time of storm. He is bread when we are hungry. And if you're thirsty, you can turn on the fountain of living water. He's a rose of Sharon. He's the great I am. He's a lily of the valley. He's a ladder that ascends and descends at the same time. He is the bishop of our soul. He is the fountain of Zion. He is the truth and the life. He is the I am that I am. He is the head and not the tail. To the shepherd, he is the Lamb of God. To the lost, he is the Savior. To the guilty, he is their pardon. To the teacher, he is the truth. To the spiritually dead, he is the resurrection life. To the stranger, he is the friend that's sticking closer than any brother. To the spiritually dead, he is the resurrection. To the stranger, he is the friend. To the troubled, he is the peacemaker. To the despairing, he is the hope of glory. To the outsider, he is the door where no man can come to Jesus, but only through the door. If you come through the window, you a thief and a robber. But the only way to Jesus, to God, is through the door. To the scientist, he is the creator. To the physician, he is the healer. To the imprisoned, he is the deliverer. To the weak, he is the strong one. To the poor, he is a hidden treasure. And to you today, he is your savior. He is a way out of no way. He's a river in the wilderness. He's joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's our hope and our help. He's our way out of no way. Is there anybody here who has an adjective to describe just how God good God has been to you? God's glory is all around us. He's wrapped around our presence. For God is away out of nowhere. Oh, praise his holy name. But this same Jesus became a seed. There was a wall that stood in between us and God. But God sending his only begotten son to break down the wall of partition that separated God and man. You ought to be glad today to know that over 2,000 years ago, God sent a man in his son. He called him Jesus to redeem us of our sin. And the Bible lets us know that they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And he died. The Bible lets us know that he died on Calvary's cross. He died all night Friday. He died all morning Saturday. He died all night Saturday. But look at your neighbor and tell him, early Sunday morning, he arose with all power. He arose, I feel like preaching, with all dominion. He arose with all authority in his hand. And he said, give me back my glory. Give me back my church. Give me back my authority. Give me back my healing anointing. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm glad. He took nails in his hand. He took a spear in his side. He took a thorny crown on his head. He took a spike in his feet. The Bible said darkness came over the midday sky until the ninth hour, for the sun refused to shine. Significantly, God's judgment for the sin of mankind and his sorrow at the sacrifice of his beloved son. And in the same instant, Jesus declared, it is finished. Miles away from Golgotha, in the temple of Jerusalem, the veil of the temple was rent into from top to bottom, representing that the veil has been taken down. The bridge has been built. Oh, praise his holy name. We have access. Look at your neighbor, tell him, access to God. We have access to the name of Jesus. But Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last breath. The earth began to shake violently. The earth began to tremble. It began to move back and forth. The Bible said rocks began to break. So much so that dead men got up out of their graves and began to walk, until the soldier said, surely, surely, this has to be the Son of God. Oh, praise his holy name. As the rocks split, many graves in the vicinity broke open. And when Jesus died, he descended into Hades, into Abraham's bosom, the place of comfort, and proclaimed liberty to those who had died in faith. He then took those believers with him, along with him, and the thief on the cross with him up. You ought to give God praise. Thank God for every valley. Thank God for every mountain. Thank God for every difficult situation. Thank God for every trial. Thank God for every ridicule. Thank God for the people who mock you. Thank God for those who scandalize your name. You ought to thank God for trouble, because trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but I dare you to high five your neighbor and tell him joy. I'm going to preach like y'all happy. Even though you're not, tell your neighbor joy comes in the morning. You ought to give God a shout for joy. You ought to shabbat God for joy. Don't wait until the battle is over, but I dare somebody to shout. You ought to give God a praise if you're glad that he brought joy, oh great joy, to your soul. Give him praise for bringing joy. He brought the joy. He brought joy. Oh, great joy. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. For the things he's done. Come on. For the things he's done. For the things he's done. Come on, praise him. For the things he's done. To God be the glory. Come on, sing it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Come on, get your shout on. For the thing. For the thing.
Come on, come on, come on.
For the thing. For the thing. I dare you to celebrate.
For the thing.
Oh, magnify for the Lord thing. With me. Let us exalt thing. His name together.
For the thing. 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 He has done.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. If you made a decision to exercise your authority, come on, exercise your authority with the clapping of your hands, with the stomping of your feet. Come on. Exercise your authority. I know what authority I have. Come on, you ought to have a praise. You ought to have a shout in your feet. Listen. If God ever brought you out of anything in 2023, we're in the month of July. If God has ever healed your body, if God brought you out of anything this year in the 7 months, I want those people and only those individuals to give God a crazy praise. if the Lord has kept you, if the Lord has kept you, you owe God a praise. Look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, you owe God a praise. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you owe God a praise. The fact that God is keeping you, you owe him a praise. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he keeps on keeping me. He keeps on covering me. He keeps on protecting me. I dare you to give God for the next 30 seconds. Give God your best praise. Let the devil know you're not taking it anymore. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. The power of life and death is in your tongue. You got to let the enemy know what authority you have. My authority is in the name of Jesus. So I'm giving him praise. Because I owe him a praise. I owe him a praise. Come on, this is your testimony. This is your opportunity to testify of his goodness, of his loving kindness, of his tender mercies, which are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now I want those of you who are victorious, I need you to do something for me. I need you to step on the head of the devil. I want you to stomp over the head of the devil, letting the devil know that for the rest of this year, you are victorious and there is nothing the devil can do about it. 1, 2, 3, go! Come on, step on the head of the devil. My. You got to let the devil know you have the victory. I have the victory and I know it. I have the victory and I can shout about it. I've got the victory. And for the rest of this year, high five your neighbor and tell them, for the rest of the year, for the rest of the year, I declare victory over my life, victory over my family, victory over my health, victory. I dare you to declare your victory. Come on, make the devil mad. I need you to, we must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I need you to do something. I need you to pair up in twos. Grab someone by the hand. And I want you to get your favorite scripture in mind. I don't care if it's no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. I don't care if he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of his peace was upon you, and with his stripes you are healed. You're going to declare over your neighbor a scripture. You're going to pronounce it over their life for deliverance. I want you to do it now. Do it. Speak it. And when they're done, the next one, speak it over their life. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was placed upon you. No weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that riseth in judgment shall be condemned. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and never again beneath. You're a lender and not a borrower. You have a sound mind. Come on, declare it. Declare it. Declare your victory. Woo! There is breakthrough in this house. I feel breakthrough in this house. I feel deliverance in this house. Every shackle be broken. Tell your neighbor, let every shackle be broken. Now in the name of Jesus, every stronghold be broken in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare your deliverance. I declare your breakthrough. I declare your healing. I declare your new anointing. I declare the Shekinah glory of God rest upon you now in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, I want you to go and find your family. Go and find your family. The Holy Spirit said, have you pray for your family. Go find your family. Go find your family. Go now.